Amen. You can make your way back to your seat. I know it may take a moment with our increased crowd. Hopefully been able to say hello to someone and speak to somebody. As you make your way back, we're going to be cognizant of the time. I know that I'm in a precarious position between us and the back-to-school bash and all of the things. But I think, you know, if I play my cards right, if I preach a long time, maybe I will get out of getting a pie in the face. So I just want you to know that I'm in a unique position here because I want to preach short so that we can move forward in the day, but I also don't want to preach too short. That means more pies in my face. So I just, if I preach short, just take that as a confirmation that I'm trying to be a good sport for Pastor Kento in our next gen department. But again, it's already been such an amazing day, and I just want to bring a word, not just to our educators, but also just to everybody this time of year, beginning the school year again. It kind of reminds me of some things, and so some things I want to show us in Scripture today. So if you don't mind standing one more time, I know you're here. We stand up, sit down, but that's how you know you're in a Pentecostal church, is if you've got to stand up and sit down a couple times. But I'm going to look at the book of John chapter 3, and I'm reading the ESV, the English Standard Version. John 3 and verse 3, this is a conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. And Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. My message today is, it's time to begin again. It's time to begin again. Amen. You can be seated today. I know that it's back to school, and as I was already stated, we have our teachers are already back, but kids are going back, and so, you know, I know that means the parents are rejoicing. Kids are going back to school. Are there any parents that are thankful that the school year is starting again? You'd be excited about that. You may feel bad. It's okay. You don't feel bad. I'm a parent here. We can be excited about that. Get a little more free time, and I don't know. I guess teachers, you probably get excited. There's probably some different emotions there. Maybe you, if you kind of have to set your alarm for a week in advance and try to ease yourself back into that schedule, or if you just stay waking up really early. I don't know what that is. But the truth is, we all have moments in our life, whether it's school or seasons, when you're faced with a reality that it's time to begin this again. We have to do this again. And I know for me, I don't know if this is still the case, but when you were going to school, it was the first day of school. I was excited about the first day of school. So what does it mean? What do you do the night before the first day of school? Anybody? Lay your clothes out. Yes, there was some, I don't know if that's still a thing. I know you're probably too cool to admit it. Okay, it's fine. You didn't do that because you don't care, right? You don't care about that. But I remember laying my clothes out, and I'm acting like it was something new. It's basically wind pants, okay? Just give you a little insight into my especially my preteen years, is wind pants with everything, okay? Wind pants with boots, wind pants with suit jacket, okay? To my parents forced me to stop wearing wind pants. It was just that phase of my life, okay? No judgment. I'm just getting that off my chest now that that's what it was. But it's that feeling of excitement, right? Of this is the first day of school. I'm excited about what the year can bring. And hopefully, teachers, you have a little bit of that same excitement in your spirit. And maybe you've had some time away. And so now it's this idea of beginning again. And we do that even with every week, right? You think about this, right? We have, the saying, thank God it's Friday, right? And we create these cycles of our life of being excited about some things. And, the end of the week is an exciting thing. And we go through this excitement cycle of Friday. And I'm out of work for the weekend and hopefully excited about Sunday. And then Monday rolls around and it's time to begin the week again. And we do that over and over. And sometimes this idea, this concept of beginning again can really create a fatigue of sorts, because we create this energy cycle that can be difficult. You know, we think about things like, well, if I can just make it to vacation, right? We like to trick ourselves into thinking that 5 days of vacation will just somehow solve all of our problems, right? Instead of maybe saying, you know what, maybe I need to work on building a routine in a life that I don't need a vacation from, right? And that's not my message. That's for free today. That wasn't in my notes. But this idea of beginning again, this idea of going back to work or back to school, and I remember there was times when that I would have friends that would take time over the summer to reinvent themselves. Y'all ever had that? You have a friend? Like they, you know, grew their hair out. Or I had a friend that came back to school with a, you know, like a nose piercing and all these things. And it's like he went by his middle name. I'm like, bro, okay? Your name is Bill, okay? I'm calling you Bill. I'm not calling you this other random name, right? But and so, but just it just highlights this idea that there are times that, truth be told, we would all maybe love a summer break for some stuff to be able to begin again. Have you ever made a mistake and you wish, you know what? I wish I could just have a do-over. Can I have a mulligan? Can I have a professional mulligan, right? Is there something, some way that I could just begin again? And so this idea of a restart, a refresh, there's some things that we can automatically see in our life that are exciting things. And sometimes there's a desire there for a fresh start, for a way to begin again. There's something within us that desires that do-over. And as we look to the school year, you know, yes, I tell you parents, you know, that morning routine, it can be tough, man, trying to cram some waffles down your seven-year-old's throat while they get them ready for school and get them out the door. I understand that. Get them to the bus on time. Listen, there's no stress like missing the bus stress, okay? I've been there with my daughter Claire, and if you know her, she's high energy. She can probably run faster than I can, and she is dashing towards the bus, and I know that feeling. Even in kindergarten, she wants to be on the bus because Lucy's getting on the bus, and if I miss the bus, I can't sit by Lucy. Again, I'm just kind of airing out some things in my mind. But the truth is that we all have times in our life when you face a beginning again of sorts, or you desire a beginning again. And I know that there are times when maybe looking at a school year can be daunting for our educators, the task at hand, the challenges at hand. But I just want to tell you today that I think there is a spiritual power in your again. I believe that God is the God of new beginnings. God is the God of restarts and refreshes. And so I want to bring you some encouragement today because I believe there is power in again. And I want to highlight a couple of again moments that we see in Scripture very quickly. You see, in the book of Jonah, we read this story of Jonah a couple of weeks ago, and Jonah, this man that by all intents and purposes was kind of like a failed preacher, if you will. He was a man that ran away from what God wanted him to do, but we see that through a series of events, even though he ran away from God, he was thrown overboard, he was swallowed by a whale, and he cries out to God, and the whale spits him up on the shore. And then we see in Jonah chapter 3 and verse 1, and this is, God had already spoken to Jonah once, but here he is again. And it says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Call out against the message that I tell you. So here we see another word for a second time. We could say, then the word of the Lord came again to Jonah. So let me just remind somebody, Jonah, the man that was directly called by God and yet ran away from everything that God told him to do, ran away from who he was supposed to be in God, yet there came a point when he cried out to the Lord and said, oh Lord, deliver me, forgive me, even though he was in the belly of a whale. And you may not hopefully ever find yourself in the belly of a physical whale, but I do know there are times when we find ourselves in the belly of darkness of circumstances that we don't know how to get out of, we don't know what to do, we don't know where to turn. But let me just encourage somebody today that there is power in that again prayer. That if you say, oh Lord, can you deliver me? Oh Lord, are you strong enough to reach down into my circumstances and help me? I believe that God can respond again. And if God can give a word to Jonah again, even though he messed up and failed, yet when he reached out to the Lord, the Bible says the word of the Lord came a second time. You can recover some things in your life. There may be some things that you felt like this is what the Lord called me to do, and I made some mistakes and I messed it up. Can I ever hear from the Lord again? Jonah serves as a reminder. The word of the Lord came again. So let me just tell somebody, you are not too far gone for God. You've not too made too many mistakes for the Lord, because God is the God of the again. That he can give you a word again. He can speak to your life again. Even when you've turned away from him, if you cry out to God, he can show up again. It's time to begin again. And I'm thankful that we serve the God of second chances. We serve the God of again. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Another again in 1 Kings 18, we see this is the contest on Mount Carmel where Elijah, he defeats the prophets of Baal. And after that, 1 Kings 18:41, Elijah said to Ahab, Go up, eat and drink, for there's a sound of the rushing of rain. This is during a drought. He begins to speak things that aren't as if they were. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. Then he said to his servant, "Go up now, look towards the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." You ever been there? You pray. You've already said some things. You've declared some things. This is what God is going to do. And then nothing. He's already defeated these prophets of Baal. He's told the king what's going to happen. There's a sound of a rushing of rain. This is going to happen. Then he tells us, he's praising. He goes, "Okay, servant, go look. Go give me the confirmation." The servant goes and he comes back and he says, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go again 7 times. Comes back the second time. I'm assuming Elijah's in the same posture. And he says, "Go again. Next time." And Elijah, and no, nothing. No response. No indication. No confirmation. No movement. Not even a sign. Nothing. What does Elijah say? "Again." He does. He comes back again. 4th time. What is Elijah's answer? Does his faith begin to falter? No. He says, "Again." He doesn't see anything else. Comes back, the servant, nothing happens. 7 times, he says, "Again." And at the 7th time, he said, "Behold, a little cloud, like a man's hand, is rising from the sea." And he said, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you." And in a little while, the heavens grew black with cloud and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode to went Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he gathered up his garment, ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. This passage, again, is just such a great reminder to me that after all the things that Elijah has done, what the Lord has commanded him to do, he's been moments of great faith. He has a mountaintop moment, and now it's time for what's really supposed to happen, because the contest on Mount Carmel wasn't really about the prophets. The whole point was to end the drought. So now it's time for him to see the completion of the work of what God is doing. Now is the time that he's supposed to see the results of all his labor and all his faith and all his trust. And when he prays and he says, "Go look," and he says, "I see nothing." I recognize today you might be right there on what would be proverbially the first or second or third time, and there's nothing to show for it. And I know the way we would like to live our walk with God is to say, "Lord, I've done all the right things, as Elijah offered a sacrifice and the Lord consumed the sacrifice. And Lord, I've done everything that I'm supposed to do. Now when I look on the horizon, I want to see the answer." But what do you do when there's nothing? What do you do when you have nothing to show for it? Do we look at, "Okay, God, well, maybe I missed it. Maybe there's something else. Let me look back to the scripture. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe there was something else I need." What I've come to tell you today is, no, you don't maybe need to pray a different prayer. You don't need to say, "Okay, God, I messed up. I missed it. This isn't what you told me. This isn't what I thought was going to happen." Maybe today the only thing you need to do is pray again. You don't need a fresh revelation. You don't need a different word. You don't need something else. You just need to say, "When I don't see it, when there seems to be nothing, I'm just going to pray again. I know you've been waiting on this promise from God. I know you're waiting for God to show up, but I'm just here to remind somebody that maybe the only thing you need to say is, 'God, I'm going to look again.'" It's time to begin again. It's time to begin again. You may see nothing yet, but there is power in your again. There is power in your again, because there's power in your faithfulness. Look up in faith. Look again. There's a situation in your life that you may feel that God hasn't showed up yet, but look again. Look again. Maybe it's time for you to look again. Maybe you've stopped looking. Maybe you've given up on some things. Maybe I just need to encourage somebody today that you need to lift your eyes up. You've been praying and you're just waiting. Maybe you just need to have enough faith to say, "You know what? I'm going to go look again, because it may not have been there last time, but I can look again and say, 'Oh God, I still have faith.'" Have faith enough to get up and look again, to keep moving forward and look again. Why? Because there's power in your again. There's faithfulness that's resting in God, that we understand He is a God of faithfulness. He will never fail. He will never falter. Why? Because He's the God the same yesterday, today, and forever. So maybe you just need to look to the heavens again and say, "God, I don't see it yet, but I'm going to look again." How many times? Again. When should I do it? Again. Should I stop? No. Look again. It's time to look again. There's a situation that maybe you're waiting on the answer, but God just says, look again. You know that seven is this number of completion in Scripture, this powerful number, Genesis 2:2. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Genesis 7 and 2, take with you seven pairs of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, one pair of every unclean animal, a male and its mate. God has called us to be obedient to his word, even when it doesn't seem like there's a change. We see that time and time again throughout Scripture. We see this number of seven is not just a physical number. I'm not saying that you have to do something seven times again today, but what we see is that is an example to us that God completes the work. And so time and time again throughout Scripture, we see this number seven come again. There's another point. This is, we have Elijah, and then we have his successor Elisha in 2 Kings 5 and verse 9. This man came to Elisha, and he was plagued in his body. And so he comes and he stands at Elisha's house in verse 10 of 2 Kings chapter 5. Elisha sent a messenger saying, go wash in the Jordan seven times and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean. If you know, this was a very high and mighty man, this man, Naaman, and he was frustrated at this answer. He goes, what are you talking about? This river is dirty. Why would I go wash in this river? And he's so frustrated, he wants to leave, and his servant stops him and says, listen, if he would have asked you to do something difficult or crazy, wouldn't you have done it? You would have done whatever he asked, right? So why would you now turn away just because what he's asking you to do seems mundane? So he finally relents, and so he goes, and he begins to dip himself in the river. And again, you've probably heard this message, and you've probably heard this preach, but can you just imagine this man that was so high and lofty in his station in life, and here he is, subjecting himself to something that seems so low? And can you imagine as he dips himself in the river the first time and looks at his body and sees the leprous skin and nothing has changed, and yet in his mind, there's something that says, you know what? I'm just going to believe even though I don't understand, even though I don't see. So he dips himself again the second time. Again, no change. And I don't know about you, but I have some expectations. Maybe I'm thinking the second time my fingers are going to be okay. Maybe the third time then my arms are going to be okay. Why? Because I want to see some progression. I want to see some things moving. If I'm going to keep praying, you got to show me something. And I don't think I'm the only one, but sometimes we view God in our walk with him like that. You're going to have to give me a little something. You're going to have to throw me a bone, Lord. If I'm going to keep following you, you're going to have to just do something. But yet, nothing. Nothing. He kept dipping himself in the river. No change. But yet we see what's amazing about this. In verse 4, so he went down and dipped himself seven times in the river Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh, look at this, was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. What's amazing about this to me, this is incredible. You know, he was angry because the way the man of God told him what to do was not the way he thought, not the way he expected. The way that God was trying to move in his life was not something that he wanted or anticipated. But he was obedient enough to go again, to dip himself again. And what's amazing about this is I believe that there's healing in your again prayer. I know you've maybe prayed before. I know that you maybe have been down this road before and you've been praying, God, I need an answer. God, I need healing. And so sometimes there can be some frustration because, again, we want to see progress. But God doesn't necessarily work on progress. God works on promises. So if God has made you a promise, don't try to bind him to our human idea of progress. And you know what's amazing about the story of Naaman? The Bible says, it doesn't say, and his flesh was healed and it was fixed. No, God says, and God, what God did, the Bible says, his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. What's amazing to me is God didn't just heal his ailment. God actually reversed time and did beyond what he could even imagine or do. So there may be some things that you thought were gone, seasons of your life. You know, he never expected that his skin would be restored like that. That was something from a past season of his life. He could never again have that kind of skin. He could never again have that kind of restoration. But in your life, when you pray again, God can go beyond what you need, and God can restore things in your life that you thought were long forgotten. God can bring restoration to areas of your life that you thought were dead and gone. If God can heal Naaman today, if you pray again, God can heal you. God can move on your body, but you may not see progress, but you got to trust in God's promises. Somebody say again.
Again. We've got to pray again. We've got to go again. We've got to trust again. I know you don't see anything yet, but can you just look again? Because it's time to begin again. There's somebody, your faith has been low. Your confidence has been low. But I'm telling you, today is the day for you to begin again. For you to look back to the Lord and say, God, I've tried to wait on you in my way, in my timing. But today, I'm placing myself back in your timeline, Lord. Whatever your will, I want to begin again. Have a fresh faith. Have a fresh anointing of your presence. There's power in your again. When there's repetition in the Bible, it's there to show emphasis. So not only do we see this number of completion, but also we understand that. And we would say we have repetition in our language as emphasis, and or if your parents, maybe annoyance, right? Mom, 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 mom. It's my house. Mommy, mommy, mommy. And we got two kids going in chorus. Mommy, 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 mommy. And I'm just like, mommy, mommy, mommy. But in Scripture, we see if there's repetition, look to it. If there's repetition, heads up. Because it's even more powerful than our language. It's something that the author is trying to get you to understand. It's saying, listen, this is important. You need to see what's happening here. When there's repetition, it's there to show emphasis in scriptural writings. Anytime a phrase or idea is repeated, there's some power and significance there. We see that Paul, this man who wrote much of the New Testament, he finds himself in a jail cell. He wrote Philippians from prison. Now, this is the man who had been stoned and left for dead before, in prison multiple times, and ultimately martyred for the gospel, and yet he writes the book of Philippians full of encouragement. Amazing passages. It contains the powerful words that often quoted, saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to look at Philippians 4 together. Some of the words of Paul, as I bring an encouragement, he's writing to these people in the early church, and we like to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And culturally, people have adapted and adopted that to basically mean any challenging thing, I can do it, it's going to be awesome, and I can succeed. It's usually attached to success. And that's the way culture we've adopted. But if you look before that verse, Philippians 4 and verse 12, look what he says. He says, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. And in any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me, through Christ who gives me strength. So this verse is not just about being able to do amazing things, although that's part of it. To me, it's the sustaining power of when I fall, I can get back up again. When I'm hungry, I can pray again. When I have need, I can have faith again. And I read that because in Philippians 4, verse 4, look what he says. He begins this passage, this amazing thing, again, from his perspective, his perspective of being in prison. Look what he says to them. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. He took time to stamp it into this scripture with repetition to say, listen, if there's one thing I can tell you from my prison cell, I've learned how to be poor. I've learned how to live in abundance, but you need to rejoice in all things and all ways. So somebody today, this world has stolen your rejoicing spirit. The enemy has stolen your rejoicing ability because you've gone through circumstances. But if I can read the words of Paul to you today, I would say rejoice again. Rejoice again. It's not because of my circumstances. It's because God is good. It's because I can do all things through Christ. I can go through times of need. I can go through times of abundance. But you know what I'm going to do? In every season, I will rejoice. Oh, can we just rejoice for a moment? God, I want to rejoice again. Lord, I want to rejoice in your presence. I want to give you thanks again. I want to give you honor and glory again. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. How amazing that a man in his circumstances could say, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. There's a great passage in Matthew 18. I'm just
I'm going through some of these again moments that have jumped out to me in Scripture. Jesus talking to Peter in Matthew 18. Look at this one, maybe not as exciting. Peter came up to him and said, Lord, how often will I forgive my brother? How often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Kind of interesting. He knows the power of this number seven. I think it's almost a little, you know, is it seven times? And Jesus fires right back. I guess this is kind of like biblical humor a little bit. I think this is a little tongue-in-cheek. Jesus says, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. 77 times. We see. And in different passages, right? So what he basically says again is 70 times seven will be 490. But here the call is not a literal number, but it's, what is he saying? Scholars are not thinking that Jesus is actually trying to put a numerical value. What he's trying to say is, you missed it. It's not about this number seven. You don't have to follow that. What I'm calling you to is a lifetime of forgiving. A lifetime of forgiveness. Why? Because you have been forgiven. So again, what I read that is, you may say, well, do I need to pray seven times? And on the seventh time, I can expect that to be, you know, the answer to be there. And I say, look at Jesus when asked about some of these lifelong things and, you know, how many times should I forgive someone that sins against me? Jesus basically says, listen, you kind of missed the point, because Jesus came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. So with Jesus, we can have fulfillment. So Jesus says, listen, it's about a lifetime. It's about a relationship now. It's not about an Old Testament sacrifice and going through the perfect process and the perfect ritual. But those things which you did through ritual, you now do through relationship with me. So he says, how often do you forgive your brother? 70 times seven, okay? It's you should always do it. It should be an always thing. But what's amazing to me about that is that we understand that in the Old Testament and before Jesus came in physical form, before he died and was resurrected again, before we had the promise of eternal life through his spirit, we were bound by all of these things. We were bound by all of these rituals and rules. You had to go through this process. You had to do all of these things just to measure up to the, you had to sacrifice the best of your herd. But what's amazing is after Jesus comes, the most powerful again that I can see in Scripture is the one I read in John 3:3, when Jesus talking to Nicodemus, he says, you must be born again. You cannot see the kingdom of God. And you can read this, but this word again in the Greek, it's a little ambiguous, because it could mean again or from above. If you look into the Greek of this, you know, there's kind of some ambiguity here in the text. And so it's amazing to me, because we've read these, a lot of these Old Testament again and dipping in the river again and trusting again. And I can read the story of Jericho where they walk around the walls again and all these things that they had to do in a specific numerical order. And we're not bound by those things, although they give us an example of what to do. But now when Jesus comes on the scene, he changes everything. So when this man Nicodemus talks to Jesus and he's trying to get some clarity, you know, Jesus is trying to slowly open his eyes to a new revelation. And so in verse 4, Nicodemus says to him in John 3:4, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And so I bring this to a close today, because I want to remind you of the most powerful again in Scripture, is that you have the promise that you can be born again by the power of Jesus Christ. We're not bound by any numerical order. We're not bound by any religious process that we have to follow of rules and Old Testament regulations. No, we have the promise through Jesus Christ that we can have eternal life through his sacrifice, that he stepped in and did what we could not do, and he saved us with his blood. So today you can be born again. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, we can baptize you today. You can be born again of water and spirit today. If you want to receive that today, I want to encourage you. I know it's back to school bash, but I would be remiss if I didn't stand in this pulpit on this Sunday and say that you must be born again. No matter who you are, no matter what your background, the command is for all of us to be born again. We must be born again. It's time to begin again. So Nicodemus is seeing this most amazing again in Scripture. Would you stand with me? That again is available for you today. if you've been looking for a do-over in your life, if you've been wanting a fresh start, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name as we see in Scripture, if you've never been born again of water and spirit, if the things I've been talking about, these passages of Scripture, these men in the Bible, these amazing again moments, you can have those moments in your life. And you can have them because you can have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you. We see that in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God moved on people. It moved in front of people. It moved on behalf of people. But now, because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Spirit moves in people. It can move in you and through you. So today, I want to encourage you, if you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, that is a promise that's here for you today. Our next steps pastor, Pastor John, if you could just wave your hand, he's right here. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name and you want to claim this again moment, this beginning again, we have everything you need. We've got separate clothes you can wear. We've got warm water. We've got all the nice stuff. But it's not even about that. It's about the decision. Lord, you know, it's time for me to begin again. I've been, maybe you're 40, 50 years old in this place, but yeah, you've never been baptized. You know what? Today is a day that you can begin again. A fresh start. A clean slate. And today, for those of us, if you have been baptized in Jesus' name, I want to tell you that there's also a beginning again for all of us. And we're going to pray over our students here in just a moment, and because they're beginning again of school, and we're going to pray the blessing of God over our students and educators. But to all of us, in Lamentations 3 and 22, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So you may ask, God, when will you forgive me again? God, can I get back up? How many times can I get up? The answer is again. God, can I bring my problems to you when I've made so many mistakes? What do I do? The answer will be again. Aren't you thankful? Just think about it with me. There's no limit to his mercies. There's no limit to his grace. There's no limit to his forgiveness. There's no limit to what God can do. So today, as our students come, we're going to pray over them because they're beginning again. And this year, they're going to face challenges. This year, they're going to face difficulties. And what I would love is after they come around the front, if you're an educator or a teacher, we're going to kind of have three stages this morning. We're going to pray for our kids. We're going to pray for our educators. And then I know this is a special day. We got the back to school bash, and you may have to come get your kids, and it's going to be a wonderful type of chaos, okay? This is going to be a beautiful chaos. But what's going to happen after we pray is I just want to also just kind of open up this entire sanctuary as a moment for us to pray. You probably can't get down here to the front. There's too many of us. But we're going to pray over our kids. We're going to pray over our educators. And then I want us to all pray together, because you know what? Every single person in here, no matter how long you've been walking with the Lord, you need a new beginning. Probably every morning I have to wake up and make the posture of my heart, Lord, forgive me today. Let me walk with you today. And so if there's someone you feel a little downtrodden in your faith, you feel a little difficult, you feel like you're going through a circumstance, and you're probably asking, Pastor, if you could just tell me the answer to this. When is it going to happen? And when should I look for God to move? And how many times do I have to pray? And I want to tell you the answer. When can God touch you? Pray again. When should I look for it? Look again. His mercies. Will he be merciful to me? Again. Get back up again. So if you're an educator in the place, if you'd like just to come down to the front and just kind of fill in around our children, I would love for all of our, if you're a teacher, you work in a school district, you work in education in some way, if you don't mind, just kind of press in around the children. Because we want to just take some time in our church body. We're going to pray over our children going back to school. We want to bless them. And they brought their backpacks today. And we just want to pray that God would be with them as every day they go through the school year, as they begin again, that they would have a wonderful time and be blessed in Jesus' name. So, kids, I just want to take a moment and I want to pray for you as you're going to school, that God would help you, that you can learn, that you can have a great time, that you can have fun, and that your teachers would give you lots of candy this year. And that your parents will let you have treats after the first day of school. And I said it, so I mean, it kind of has to happen, right? So, if we can, church family, would you mind just stretching your hands down? And let's let's really go to the Lord in prayer together, because our students need a covering from our church. Let's pray right now. Lord, I thank you for your presence today, Lord. I thank you for all of our kids that are here, Lord, our students, Lord. I pray that you would bless them in this coming year, Lord. God, let them walk in your favor. God, protect their minds, Lord. God, I pray that they can be a light wherever they go, Lord. I pray that you would walk with them, keep them, and protect them, Lord. I pray that you would be with them, Lord. You see, God, their every move, Lord. I pray that you would help them as they grow, help them as they learn this year, Lord. God, I pray that we could, as a church, model the kind of behavior we want them to exemplify, Lord. In the name of Jesus, yes, can we just pray for all these children going back to school? God, bless them. Keep them, Lord. God, I pray you'd protect them, Lord. Yes, can we also begin to pray for our educators? Lord, every person that works in education, Lord, I pray you would bless them, God. God, give them wisdom and discernment. Lord, only you know the situations they're going to encounter this year as they try to teach students, as they try to lead students, Lord. I pray you would bless them, Lord. God, I pray you would walk with them and guide them, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that this school year would be an amazing and successful year, God. I pray that your presence would go with them, Lord. I pray that you would walk with them. I pray that you would be with them, Lord. In the name of Jesus, touch every educator, Lord. Touch every teacher, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Now, just right where you are, would you just lift your hands and pray, because we all need to begin again. And if you need to be baptized today, please let us know. We will baptize you in Jesus' name. But I want to pray over you and your beginnings again. Lord, I pray, Lord, your mercies are new every morning. I thank you for new mercies. God, I pray today you would give somebody fresh mercy. God, I pray for someone that's struggling today, someone that feels like their faith is faltering, their faith is low. In the name of Jesus, I pray you would be with them. I pray you would walk beside them, Lord. I pray you would rejuvenate their faith, God. I pray they can pray again. I hope they can look again unto you, O Lord. In the name of Jesus, oh, can we just take a moment and pray together, church? The Spirit of God is here today. We need you, Lord. Touch our families. Touch our church. Yes, we have our whole church body here today. Let's pray, Lord. Let your favor be upon us. In the name of Jesus, I pray for every family, every parent. I pray for every teacher, Lord. Every grandparent, Lord. I pray we could come together, Lord. Yes, if you feel to pray for someone, please feel free to do that. If you want to reach over and pray for the person next to you, let's bind together. Because we all sometimes need a fresh start. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Touch our students. Touch our teachers, Lord. Bless them this year, God. Bless them this year, Lord. Bless those that are educating, Lord. Those that are homeschooling, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. I pray you would direct and guide them, Lord. Yes, God, I pray you would direct and guide them, Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Bless them this year, God. Give them strength this year, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bless everyone going this year.
every security guard, every bus driver, Lord, every administrator, Lord, every principal, God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, go with them, Lord. Go before them, God. In the name of Jesus, let them walk in your mercy, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, can we just begin to give God some thanks? Can we just rejoice together? God, you are the God of second chances. You are the God of new beginnings. Lord, as we come into this new school year, God, we thank you, Lord, because you go before us. God, you prepare a way, God. Your blessings await us. Your mercies await us in the morning. Your mercies are new every day. Your faithfulness lasts forever, God. I'm so thankful, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, great is your faithfulness. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. God, I pray for everyone today beyond just our teachers and students, Lord. I pray for people, Lord, going back to work or a new job environment, Lord. Or maybe they've been struggling in their finances. God, you are the God of second chances and new beginnings, Lord. I pray for a blessing over the families of our church. I pray for a blessing over the marriages in our church. I pray for a blessing over the parents, God, the grandparents, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Yes, it's time to begin again, Lord. It's time to begin again. Pray again. Have faith again. Trust again. In the name of Jesus, we serve the God of new beginnings. We serve the God of again. It's time to begin again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you, God.